light of guidance, the 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 light of guidance. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam, once upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayki ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulallah. Marhaba, khush amdeed, welcome to one and all to another wonderful, exciting and beautiful episode of the series known as The Light of Guidance. Alhamdulillah, you are watching Madani Channel English and at the moment we are broadcasting this wonderful episode all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. Mashallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Today, inshallah, Azawajal, a very beautiful lesson I want to share with one and all. A beautiful incident first. And then, inshallah, the lessons which we can derive from this beautiful incident. And yes, this beautiful incident is found in the glorious Quran. In fact, there is an entire surah which is, you know, revealed and named after this beautiful incident. Allah, 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 subhanallah. This incident has nisbat towards the awliya of Allah, the people of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This incident has a connection and attachment towards the beloveds of Allah. And there are so many lessons you can learn from this beautiful incident and this beautiful surah, alhamdulillah. It has also a very great maqam and rank, alhamdulillah. Many of us recite it every Jummah, particularly, alhamdulillah. I'm sure many of you must have got which surah I'm speaking about. Yes, today we are discussing the beautiful incident of Ashab-e Kahf, the sleepers of the cave, subhanallah, subhanallah. And the beautiful surah is known as Suratul Kahf, which is in the 15th para, alhamdulillah. And I'm sure many of us do tilawat and recite this beautiful surah on Fridays whenever we get a chance, alhamdulillah. Many excellences, many fadail, many, you know, benefits of reciting this beautiful surah. So inshallah, you know, this beautiful, there are many incidents mentioning the surah, but one incident because of which the surah is named Kahf means the cave. It refers to the people of the cave, the sleepers of the cave, I would say. And inshallah, today we'll be discussing their beautiful incident and the lessons which we can learn. So I'm sure it's something new for many one of us. Many of us, when many of us do recite the Holy Quran, we read Tarjumah, Tafasir, some of us don't even have time. But maybe many of us do not know this incident which is in Surah Kahf. So please be with us, inshallah, today till the end of the episode in Silsila. And inshallah, we'll be discussing this wonderful topic and this wonderful discussion, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Let's begin today's discussion, today's beautiful topic. I'm sure everyone is excited. I am excited of discussing this beautiful topic. But as we all know, in the beginning of our silsila, we do have an important question which we ask our viewers, our listeners, and inshallah at the end of the episode in silsila, we then share the answer with our viewers and our listeners. The beautiful question for today is, and we'll be playing on the screen as well, what was the name of the brother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? What is the name of the brother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? Subhanallah, for those that know the answer, quickly send in your answers via our social media platforms, and those that don't know the answer, do some research. But whilst doing the research, please be with us till the end of today's discussion. As we told you, today we will be discussing something lovely regarding the incident from the Holy Quran, which is the people of the cave. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulullah, sallallahu ala Muhammad, nurim min nurillah. Before we begin the discussion, one thing you must keep in mind. In the glorious Quran, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions
some laws, ahkam, this is halal, this is haram, this you should do, this you shouldn't do, with regards to purity, with regards to taharat, with regards to Ramadan, the fasting, alhamdulillah, with regards to hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned some beautiful ahkam, means hukums and laws of sharia, of the divine law, which is present in the Holy Quran. Apart from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also very beautifully mentioned incidents of the previous nations, the previous ummah. And majority of the time where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the previous nations, it is, you know, the way they show the ungratefulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they went against the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how when that Nabi of that specific era and that specific time invited them towards Allah, then they denied it, they went against it, the Nabi, and you know, the outcome was that they were destroyed. Destruction came to them, punishment came to them in different forms, in different types. Allah Ta'ala speaks about these nations, how arrogant they were, how much pride they had, and how much takabbur they had, how much they didn't want to listen to the Prophet, and how they were destroyed in different forms of punishment. And the conclusion of all of this is Allah Ta'ala is giving advice for us, for the Muslims, for the mu'mineen, for the believers. Yes, this advice isn't only limited to the Sahaba-i-Kiram or the people in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, the advice is for everyone until Qiyamah. That those that oppose Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are destroyed. Those that go against Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are destroyed. Those that don't want to follow the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are destroyed. And many, many other beautiful lessons and, you know, valuable lessons we learn from the beautiful, past incidents which are mentioned in the Holy Quran. And another beautiful aspect of the Holy Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His bounties, about His in'amat, about the favors which He has done, you know, giving rain from the skies, growing the vegetation, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the sea, the ocean, the stars, the moon, the sun. All of this are the wonders of nature, and these are the wonders and the qudrat. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah ta'ala shows you, you know, who is the one who is bringing the rain, who is the one who causes the crops to grow, who is the one who makes sure the wind is blowing, the sun rises, the sun sets, the moon is there, everything is moving perfectly and in one system. Who is there? So Allah Ta'ala is giving you these indications, these beautiful, points that there is a Zaat who is controlling this entire universe, and that is only one Zaat, who is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the true Lord, alhamdulillah. So the Holy Quran consists of all of these wonderful, aspects which I have mentioned in front of you. Besides this, you know, if we have to discuss the Holy Quran in detail, by Allah, our lives will come to an end. But the praises, the discussions of the Holy Quran can never ever come to an end, because our minds are limited, and we do not have the proper understanding to gain the proper understanding of the Holy Quran. Allah, what Allah Ta'ala revealed to His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how many secrets, how many, you know, hidden secrets, how many ahkam, how many beautiful things are mentioned in the Holy Quran, that our mind is limited, we cannot understand it. Yes, but every day we learn something wonderful, something new regarding the Holy Quran, subhanallah, subhanallah. So these are just few aspects I kept in front of you, of what is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Besides this, there are many other things as I mentioned. So one aspect I told you is where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the previous nations, the previous umam, the prophets and the nations, or just the nations, and some lessons we learn from there. So one of those beautiful incidents is the lessons of Ashabi Kahf, the people of the cave. And this incident shows us the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives the lesson about tawakkul. It gives the lesson about the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives the lesson of having the nisbat, the connection, the attachment towards the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives us the lesson of istiqamat, of steadfastness as well. Subhanallah. There are so many lessons which we can learn from this beautiful incident of Ashabi Kahf. Subhanallah. So the Holy Quran very beautifully speaks about these beautiful people. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Kahf, ayat number 9 and 10. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Am hasibata anna ashab al-kahfi wal-raqimi kanu min ayatina ajaba. إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Did you know that the people of the cave and people near to the forest were our wonderful signs? When the young men took refuge in the cave, they then said, O Lord, grant us mercy from yourself. and grant us guidance in our station. SubhanAllah. Regarding this beautiful ayah, it is mentioned in Siratul Jinan, tafsir of the Holy Quran, very beautifully. It is mentioned that the parable of Ashabi Kahf begins from this ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal has declared it as one of His amazing signs because this parable contains many pieces of advice, SubhanAllah, and pearls of wisdom. And elaborating on the word Raqim, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran, in this ayah, أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ. Elaborating on this word, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions and he says, Raqim is the name of the valley in which Ashabi Kahf are resting. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. So inshallah, now we'll discuss the beautiful incident of Ashabi Kahf. What happened? What is this excellent and wonderful incident, inshallah? But before we go towards that, let's take a short break. Inshallah, let's listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of Medina, in the praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as soon as we return from our short break, our beautiful kalam, then inshallah, we'll be carrying on our beautiful discussion regarding Ashabi Kahf, the sleepers of the cave, the people of the cave, inshallah. Please remain with us till the end of today's wonderful episode, wonderful silsila, after this short break, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa jani rahmat, شمعِ بزمِ ہدایت صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم کا فرمانِ عالی شان ہے کہ جو کوئی شخص مجھ پر ایک بار درودِ پاک پڑھے اللہ عز و جل اس پر اپنی 10 رحمتیں نازل فرماتا ہے اس کے 10 گناہوں کو مٹاتا ہے اور اس کے 10 درجات کو بلند فرماتا ہے آج جو کلام آپ سننے جا رہے ہیں اس میں آپ کو بار بار درود پاک پڑھنے کا موقع ملے گا آئیے نعت رسول مقبول بھی سنیے اور درود پاک کے ورد میں شامل ہو جائیے
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
sachi baat sikhate ye hai seedhi raah dikhate ye hai
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
jaldi jaane bujhate ye hain jaldi jaane bujhate ye hain roti aankhein hansate ye hain sallallahu alaihi wasallam
sallallahu alaihi wasallam sallallahu alaihi wasallam
qasre dana tak kis ki rasai qasre dana tak kis ki rasai jaate ye hain aate ye hain sallallahu alaihi wasallam
sallallahu alaihi wasallam sallallahu alaihi wasallam
faize jaleel khaleel se poocho faize jaleel khaleel se poocho aag mein baag khilate ye hain sallallahu alaihi wasallam
sallallahu alaihi wasallam sallallahu alaihi wasallam
inna a'tainaka al-kawthar inna a'tainaka al-kawthar sari kasrat paati باتیں یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم. رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم. رزق اس کا ہے کھلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑیں. اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑیں. کون بنائے بناتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن. لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن. کون بچائے بچاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر. مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر. میٹھی نیند سلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے. باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے. لطف وہاں فرماتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے. ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے. آ آ کہہ کے بلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا. ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا. پیتے ہم ہیں پلاتے یہ ہے sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallim, sallim ki dharas se. Sallim, sallim ki dharas se. Pul par humko chalate. Ye hai sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Keh do raza se khush ho khush reh. Keh do raza se khush ho khush reh. Mujda rza ka sunate ye hai. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله. wonderful كلام of سيدي ومرشدي على حضرت امام احمد رضا خان. سچی بات سکھاتے یہ ہے, سیدھی راہ چلاتے یہ ہے. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. يا اعلی حضرت very beautifully you know speaks about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says he is the one who does everything. ہاں سچی بات سکھاتے یہ ہے, سیدھی راہ چلاتے یہ ہے. باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے لطف وہاں فرماتے یہ ہے, اور ماں جب ایک لوتے کو چھوڑے تو آہ آہ کہہ کے بلاتے یہ ہے. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. اینڈ ویری بیوٹیفلی یو نو اعلیٰ حضرت مینشنز ڈفرنٹ ڈفرنٹ تھنگز اینڈ ہی سیز ہی از دا ون ہو ڈز ایوری تھنگ. ہی از دا ون ہو ہیلپس اس, ہی از دا ون ہو پروٹیکٹس اس, ہی از دا ون ہو گیوز اس سلویشن. انا اعطیناک الکوثر, ساری کثرت پاتے یہ ہے. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. اینڈ یو نو ایٹ دی اینڈ ویری بیوٹیفلی اعلیٰ حضرت سیز دیٹ کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہے. دیٹ ٹیل احمد رضا دیٹ ہی مسٹ بی ہیپی, ہی مسٹ ریمین ہیپی. مجدہ رضا کا سناتے یہ ہے, بیکاز مائی نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از گیونگ دا گلیڈ ٹائڈنگز آف پیس آف بلیسنگز دیٹ انشاء اللہ عز و جل. ان ادر ورڈز, اف اے پرسن از دا سلیو آف دا بیلوڈ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, این آرڈنٹ لور اینڈ فالوور آف نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ایکس اپون دا ٹیچنگز آف اللہ اینڈ ہز بیلوڈ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, دین ان شاء اللہ مجدہ رضا کا سناتے یہ ہے. دین مائی نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از گیونگ دا گلیڈ ٹائڈنگز ان شاء اللہ آن ڈے آف قیامہ دیٹ پرسن ول بی پروٹیکٹڈ. یو نو دس This we learn from the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The person will be protected. He will be granted salvation from the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah. We make dua. May Allah Ta'ala keep us amongst the saf and the row of those wonderful and excellent people, inshallah, who will be receiving the beautiful shafa'at of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen, on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Very beautifully, welcome back to our wonderful episode in Silsila. And we just mentioned a beautiful ayah of the Holy Quran which discussed about the Ashab al-Kahf, but inshallah now we'll be discussing the entire incident in detail. Subhanallah. These beautiful people, they were basically after the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was raised to the heavens, and then the people started, you know, worshipping idols. People started doing disbelief, going in kufr, and you know, going against the teachings of Allah and the Prophet Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. So people started worshipping idols. There was a town, and the town and the city was known as Ephesus. And there was a king who was in charge of the city, who ruled the city, and he was a very tyrant king. And the king's name was Dakyanus, you know, in that language, and in English he was known as Decius. Right, so this was the king who was a very tyrant ruler, a very wicked and cruel king. And you know, he made the law that if anyone is found to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means if anyone is worshipping anything besides the idols, then his law was that that person should be killed, that person should be prosecuted, and a punishment was to be inflicted upon that person. In other words, you must only worship idols. You can't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't do anything else. You must only worship the idols. Allah, Allah, Allah. So there was a group of people, and these people, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In their hearts, they were believers, they were mu'mineen, and they did not want to go and worship the idols. So what they did was, they ran away and they hid in a cave. Allah, 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 subhanallah. They took refuge in the cave, and there in that cave, they slept. They slept, and you know, the king sent his people to find out where are these people, where are they taking refuge, where are they staying. So apparently somebody found that, you know, these people are sleeping in the cave. So he went quickly back to the king and he said that, oh my king, you know, these people, they are in so and so cave, they are sleeping. This is the perfect time to go and catch them. So the king decided and he said that, you know, instead of giving them and killing them and that, the punishment I'm going to give them is that a wall should be built on the entrance of the cave. In other words, a wall must be built to block the cave. So nobody can go in, nobody can come out. And because they are already in there, eventually they'll wake up from their sleep. They would want to eat, to drink, you know, and they need to live. So if there's no food, no water, eventually they'll die in the pain, in the suffering. And this is going to be their punishment. Allah, 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 Allah. So the king appointed a person and sent him that go and build a wall over the cave, over the mouth of this cave. So this person went, and look at the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, the hikmat of Allah, the power of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This person who went, in his heart he was a believer, and his heart didn't accept, you know, that these people should be buried in the cave and there should be a wall built in front of the cave. Allah, 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 subhanallah. So what he did was that he wrote the names of the people of the cave on a slate. And he mentioned how many they are, and he mentioned the entire incident of the people of the cave. Then he placed that slate in a copper box and he buried it on the foundation of the wall which he was building at the entrance of the cave. And likewise, he kept another slate like this, you know, with the names, with the number of the people and the entire incident in the royal treasury as well. So basically, one he kept in the king's castle, in the kingdom, whatever it is, and one he kept here at the foundation of the wall which he built over this cave. After a few days, this tyrant, this wicked king Decius, he died, and kingdoms kept changing. He went, another king came, he went, another king came, for years and years and years and years and years, to the extent that after 300 years, then there came a king whose name was Bedrus. And subhanallah, he ruled the city or this entire state for 68 years, subhanallah. He was a good king, a pious king. And in his time, people started, you know, having these objections, and people started disbelieving that Allah Ta'ala does not have the power to, you know, resurrect one after he has left this world. In other words, there will be no resurrection after death. Once a person dies, he dies, he's finished. There will be no resurrection after death. And this king, he was a pious king. Alright, so one day he made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, oh Allah, reveal such a sign that people start believing in the resurrection after death and in the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. So he made this dua from the bottom of his heart. He was a good king, a pious king, and he wanted people to believe in Allah and his beloved Nabi. Allah, 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 Allah. And very beautifully somebody said, Dil se jo baat nikalti hai, asar rakhti hai, par nahi magar taqate parwaz rakhti hai. The things, the words which come from the bottom of your heart, it has an effect, it has an impact. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So his dua he made from the bottom of the heart was readily answered in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how was this dua answered? Subhanallah. That one day, a shepherd selected the same cave where these people were sleeping, that his goats should go and graze near that cave. So while the goats were grazing near the cave, something happened that the wall fell. And as soon as the wall fell, you know, this shepherd and the people, they saw that there are some people sleeping inside this cave. So they ran away, frightened, and they moved away. And so it happened, Allah Ta'ala commanded, and with the hukm of Allah, these sleepers, they woke up in the cave. When they woke up, they greeted each other, Assalamu alaikum, and they greeted each other with the greeting of Islam, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And you know, whilst all this was happening, they started discussing, and obviously they were hungry, they were thirsty. So one of them, whose name was Yamlika, the people said that you go and go to the bazaar, to the marketplace, and bring something for us, something to eat. At the same time, see that this evil king who is out there, this Decius, this Daqyanus, see if he's fine, what's the matter, what's the situation in the city. Because he was after us, so if everything is cool, then we can leave. So he went, and as he walked into the streets of the city, he saw that everywhere, you know, people are chanting the slogans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people are believing in Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and openly they are expressing their faith. So he started thinking to himself that, you know, just yesterday or so we went in the cave, and this king was after us, and today everyone is speaking openly, they are expressing their faith, this king is not doing anything to them. So he found it very weird. Anyways, he went to the marketplace and he went to the bakery to buy some bread or whatever the case was, and he gave the money. So the person, when he took the coin, he gave it back to me and said, this coin is not existing anymore. We don't use this coin any longer. So you know, this person said, what do you mean you don't use this money? I just took this money. It's my money, and just yesterday we used to use this currency. So he said, no, this is hundreds and hundreds years old. All right. So then this person asked that, where is this king Decius, this Daqyanus? They said, at the moment there is no king with that name. Yes, 300 years or somewhat years ago, there was an evil king with that name, and he was very wicked. So, you know, the shopkeeper and the people, they saw that this person is young, and he is saying that he has money which is 300 years old, but apparently he is young. So they had some suspicion that, you know, maybe this person is a thief, or maybe he got some treasure which is very, very old, because he is young. He doesn't look like he lived for 300 years. All right, so maybe he found some treasure. So they quickly went and they took him to the authorities. The authorities questioned him and said, you know, what's the case? What's happening? Where you got this money? So he said, this is my money. And said, if you don't believe me, then come to the cave. My fellow people, my fellow colleagues, my you know, partners are there in the cave, and you can discuss the entire incident with them, and they will tell you what I'm saying is true. So the authorities, this person, Yamlika, and many other people, they started moving towards the cave. So the people in the cave, you know, they were worried that we sent him for so long and he still didn't return with the food. At the same time, they were thinking that, you know, maybe the king must have caught him, and then they heard people coming towards the cave. So they were like, yeah, now we are gone, because the people, the king, they are coming to catch us. They must have caught him and they're coming to us now. So they quickly started worshipping Allah Ta'ala. They started making tawbah in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah, Allah, Allah. When the people reached the cave, then there at the foundation, they found that copper box, and in it there was the slate which that person buried when he was building this wall over the cave. And when they removed the slate, they saw that this is the names of the people, this is the you know, the quantity of how many people are in the cave. And then, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, the entire incident was discussed. When the authorities saw this, they quickly rushed and they told the king, who was Bedrus, and they said that king, oh our master, see, this does this happen, and this is the incident. So the king quickly rushed and he came to the cave and he saw the slate and he saw the situation of these people. Allah, Allah, immediately he went into sajda and he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Ya Allah, you have shown such a wonderful, you know, lesson for all these people, that those people who did not believe that there is resurrection after death, now they will believe, because such people who were living 300 years ago, and after 300 years, they are still fresh, they are still wonderful, the clothes didn't change, their body didn't change, they didn't get old for 300 years, they slept, there was no hunger, there was no thirst. Allah, Allah, it was as if for those 300 years, they were dead, and now Allah Ta'ala brought them back to life. Subhanallah. So this was an eye-opener for all of those people, and the people started believing in Allah and His Prophet. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So these people thanked the king, made dua for the king, Subhanallah, and then they went back in the cave, and when they were there, when they slept, Allah Ta'ala granted them death in that state, in that condition. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So this king, Bedrus, very beautifully, you know, he preserved bodies of the people of the cave, in the cave very beautifully. And after this, this King Bedruz, he constructed a mosque at the entrance of the cave. And he fixed an annual day for celebration and asked people to visit this beautiful mosque and this cave on that day. In other words, the urs was celebrated of these wonderful personalities of the people of the cave. Subhanallah. So this is the entire incident which is summarized in various books of Tafaseer. Subhanallah. Regarding the number of the people of the cave, Allah Ta'ala very beautifully says, قُلْ رَبِّ أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, say, you, O beloved, my Lord knows well their number. No one except a few knows them. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned, it is mentioned in Tafsir Sawi, that I am amongst those few people who know the number of the companions in the cave. Then he says, the number of companions is 7, and the 8th was their dog. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Furthermore, it is mentioned in Tafsir Sawi, with regards to the blessed names of Ashab Kahf. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Ibn Abbas, Abdullah bin Abbas, who mentioned that a ta'weez, an amulet made with the names of Ashabi Kahf, is beneficial for 9 things. Allah Allah, just the ta'weez with the names of these respected people of the Kahf. Number one, he says, to call back someone who has fled away and to escape from enemies to save oneself. This ta'weez can help you. Number two, he says, to extinguish fire. Write it on a piece of cloth and place it in the fire, inshallah, with the hukum of Allah, the fire will extinguish. Number three, he says, for the children who cry or for the fever that comes after every third day. Number four, he says, fasten it over the right arm for a headache. Number five, string it round the neck of the patient of Umm Sibyan. Number six, to have a safe land or sea journey. Number seven, for the protection of wealth. Number eight, to have an increase in wisdom. And number nine, for the salvation of sinners. Subhanallah. And how long did these Ashabi Kahf remain sleeping for? It is very beautifully mentioned. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَزْدَادُوا تِسْعَى. And they stayed in their cave for 300 years and 9 more. The pagans said that we are aware about the Ashabi Kahf stay in the cave for 300 years, but we do not know about the 9 years period. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you people are counting on the basis of solar years, whereas the time mentioned in the Holy Quran is according to the lunar years. In every 100 solar years, there is an addition of 3 lunar years. So in other words, 309 lunar years, these people, blessed people, slept in the cave. And this was indeed the manifestation of the Qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Inshallah, Azawajal, we'll take a short break and listen to another beautiful Madani pool, Madani flowers, inshallah, some beautiful pearls of wisdom. And as soon as we return, inshallah, we will then discuss the beautiful lessons very shortly which we can derive from the incident of the people of the cave, inshallah. Salli ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
What is the connection and link between blessing from Allah azza wa jalla and gratitude? Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, a person from Hamdan had said, the connection, link and relation of a bounty is with gratitude, and vice versa. To say that the connection of gratitude is with abundance in his bounty. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, Sayyidina Utarid Qarashi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has also reported that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when Allah azza wa jalla grants his bondman the ability to thank him, he azza wa jalla does not deprive him of an increase in his blessings, because he azza wa jalla has promised in the Holy Quran Pak, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, la in shakartum la azidannakum, if you give thanks, I will give you more. Allahu Akbar. And furthermore, dear viewers of Madani channel, Sayyidina Ali bin Salih rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, in the commentary of this verse, he has said that this verse means that if you thank me with obedience and worship, then I will increase you in your blessings. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Munqadir Qarashi rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali has stated that our beloved Nabi, the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madini channel, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal. So why should we, as the followers and ummatis as of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not give and show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal? May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us no one's muhtaj except for himself. May Allah Azza wa Jalla fulfill all our lawful wishes. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
صلى الله على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله ما شاء الله. Welcome back to our wonderful سلسلة and episode. Alhamdulillah, we were discussing the beautiful incident of Ashabi Kahf, the sieve, the seven sleepers of the cave, and very beautifully we also discussed the entire incident. Allah, Allah, Allah. So now, inshallah, there are a few lessons which we can learn from the incident of Ashabi Kahf. As I mentioned, there are many lessons, but just a few I will keep in front of you, inshallah. The first and foremost, the most important lesson we learn from the incident of Ashabi Kahf, and it is also, you know, one of the wonderful reasons why the incident took place, is to prove and show that resurrection after death is haq, it is true. And as a mu'min, as a believer, we need to believe. It is part of our iman to believe in the resurrection after death. In fact, if anyone doesn't believe in resurrection after death, he is no longer classified as a Muslim. He is a disbeliever. Alright, it is kufr. So a person needs to believe in resurrection after death. That is why when we beautifully mention imani mufassal, imani mujmal, then we do say amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wal ba'athi ba'd al maut. And we believe in the resurrection after death. This is part of our iman, subhanallah. So this incident of the Holy Quran is a clear indication, and it's a clear dalil and a proof that, subhanallah, there is resurrection after death, and this is the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. The second beautiful incident we learn is that a person who migrates from his native land, his native country, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to safeguard his iman, to protect his iman, then inshallah, he receives the special blessings from the court of Allah. He receives protection from the court of Allah. He receives the salvation, the abundance of blessings from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As these personalities, they left everything and they went in the cave. Why? What was the reason? To safeguard the iman, to protect the iman, to remain steadfast on iman and make sure that we will not surrender, we will not bow down in front of falsehood. If we are true, we are haq, we are on the path of haq, then we will safeguard our iman no matter whatever happens, subhanallah. And they saw that the protection came from the court of Allah, the help came from the court of Allah, the success came from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So migrating is also one of the means of attaining barakah, one of the means of attaining wisdom. So person shouldn't feel shy in migrating for the means of sacrificing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we migrate for worldly purpose, for business, for vacations, for holidays, for schools, for colleges, whatever the case is. But subhanallah, why don't we migrate for the sake of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Very beautifully, in the first hadith, you know, of Bukhari Sharif and many other beautiful books of a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the summary of which is, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So his intention of hijrat is towards that towards which he is migrating. He is migrating for nikah, then he is migrating for nikah. He is migrating for the dunya, he is migrating for the dunya. But he is migrating for Allah and his Rasul, then his hijrat is for Allah and his Rasul, and inshallah he will see the blessings, you know, in this hijrat, in this migration of his, subhanallah. And the perfect example is the beautiful Zat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. And what was the reason for migration? It wasn't for worldly thing or for business or for this or for that. No, it was solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was to strengthen the deen of Allah and his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. And the third beautiful lesson we learned, that there are many blessings in the names of the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are effects also. As it is mentioned in Tafsir Sawi, I mentioned now that the person who writes the names of Ashabi Kaf in Ta'weez in an amulet, then there are nine benefits which he can get, and there are many more. So which shows the names of the beloveds of Allah, the people of Allah, the friends of Allah, the names have effects and there are barakah in the names. Subhanallah. The next beautiful lesson which we learn is that Bedrus, the king who was faithful, the one who ruled for 68 years, the king who loved Allah and his beloved Prophet, subhanallah, he fixed a day of commemoration for Ashabi Kahf. And he made sure that people must come on this day to visit the grave, to visit the mazarat and the beautiful graves, subhanallah. So this shows that the urs which we celebrate of the awliya-i kiram, you know, the great day of the urs of the awliya-i kiram, it's not something which we started today. No, it dates back to the ancient times, and the previous people, the beloveds of Allah, they would also perform this beautiful and wonderful practice, subhanallah. And the last lesson which I want to leave you with is that, you know, constructing a masjid in the vicinity of the mazarat is permissible, and people can go to the masjid and perform salah, perform ibadat, and it is a means of attaining blessings and barakah from sahib-e-mazar, from the person who is buried in that noble and blessed shrine in the blessed mazar, subhanallah. So in today's time, we see the mazar is here, the masjid is here, and you know, people want to get all sorts of weird ideas and weird, you know, problems they start having. So you must tell them that no, this is something which was done even before the beautiful time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because these Ashabi Kahf is before the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from those days, people are doing this, that they are building masajid in the company and in the vicinity of the mazarat of the awliya Allah, and there is nothing wrong at all, subhanallah. So the deen of Allah is very wonderful, very beautiful, and this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed, you know, practiced upon the pious predecessors. And if we go down and we see that the ancient beautiful people, they practice the deen of Allah as we Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are following in their footsteps. So if anyone wants to bring something new, something weird, something which has no connection with the deen of Allah and his beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you must put him one side and say, no, we are following the deen of Sahaba-i-Kiram, of the Ahl Bayt-i-Athar, because they are getting the teachings from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it is the same teachings, subhanallah, which is going right back to all the beloved Anbiya alayhi salam. There is no contradicting of Sharia. There is no issues in between, and we are not disobeying Allah and his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, there are many cases in which some rulings have been changed in the previous ummah, in this ummah. But what we are doing, the base of which I want to explain now, is some actions which we are doing now, it is not something which we have started. It has been done previously by the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, with these few words, unfortunately, we have come towards the end of today's silsilan episode. And inshallah, we'll quickly share the answer to today's question. The question is on the screen as well, that who is the beloved brother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? And the answer is Hazrat Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, who is indeed also a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala, you know, granted him nabuwat, and subhanallah, he is the beloved brother of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. He also supported Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. He stayed with Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and his zikr, his mentioning is done in the Holy Quran as well in different places, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, ya zinda sahabat baki, if we get a chance in the future, we'll discuss these beautiful personalities, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. But today, everyone, please keep in mind that the beloved brother of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's name is Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. Subhanallah. Remember, instilled the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi in your heart, in your mind. This love of Nabi Sallallahu is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love, by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you soon, inshallah. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. May Allah grant all of you abundance of barakah, abundance of happiness. Ameen, 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 ya rabbal alameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.